Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
How many of you love Jesus? I mean, how many of you love him a whole lot? Stand up and give him praise. Just stand up and give him a shout. Give him all the praise you have. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. There's no one like you. Amen. Amen. Now, no, don't sit down. Don't sit down. We want to take just a minute or two to pray for Israel. I'm sure all of y'all know that they have been under attack and expect more attacks forthcoming. So here's how we want to do this. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, peace of Israel. And we need to understand that they need our prayers. The leaders need our prayers. Our president needs our prayers. Netanyahu needs our prayers to make right decisions and to do the things that we're supposed to do and do the things that needs to be done in God's timing and God's purpose. So what we want to do is, I know Mark and Debbie, your son is still in Jerusalem as we speak. So we need to pray for him as well, his safety and his family as well. But here's how I want to do this. I want you to turn around like what we do normally with communion. I want you to turn around and get in groups of about four and five people. Just go ahead and do that. Just go ahead and turn around. Introduce, if you don't know the people, just tell them your name. Introduce yourselves to them. And once you've introduced yourself, I want you to go ahead and start praying for Israel, praying for peace, and praying for wisdom, pray for our president, pray for Netanyahu, pray that wisdom comes to all of our leaders, and you just go ahead and do that right now. As Father, we thank you that we are grafted into you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for Israel. And Lord, we ask your protection upon them, Lord, and we pray for peace to overshadow them. And safety, your provision and your safety would overshadow them. We ask you, Lord, that you would move upon the hearts of the leaders. We pray that Netanyahu would be granted the wisdom on the response and what he needs to do and how he needs to do it. We pray for President Biden, Lord. We just pray for wisdom upon him. We pray that you'd speak to his heart. And Lord, that he too would begin to make the decisions that we need to show the world of our support of Israel. And Father, we love you, and we ask you to guard it. Just Lord, the dome is over them, Lord, and we just ask you, Father, that you do the supernatural protection that only you can do. And Lord, we pray that you would spoil the enemy's plans and you would raise up yours. Raise up your plan for this nation and for the nation of Israel. And Lord, we pray that everyone that hates Israel, Lord, will begin to understand and feel your presence. And would understand that you are a God of love, but you're a God to be feared as well. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, Father, we just ask you for that to transpire. We ask you, Lord, to protect everyone there. Lord, I know there's been one injury of a 10-year-old girl. And Father, we just ask you to bring healing, and we ask you to protect them from death. We love you. We ask you for special protection over Mark and Debbie's son and their family in Jerusalem. And Lord, they're there because you put them there. You sent them on a mission. And they're fulfilling that. So, Father, protect them. Watch over them. Well, I pray for this nation. Just lift up your voice for this nation. This nation needs to see repentance. This nation needs to have repentance. This nation needs to turn back to God. Just lift your voice and cry out to God to let the baptism of repentance just flow and just be poured out on this nation. Pray for all our governmental leaders that they will experience who you are, Lord, who you are. Now begin to pray for the church. Pray that we will be filled with the Holy Spirit overflowing in such a way that we will represent what God wants to do no matter where we are. And now, no matter who we're with, that we will represent what God, the Father, wants us to do, wants us to say, and how we are to respond and how we are to react. And while you're there, just go ahead and pray that the baptism of fire would begin to touch our hearts. And begin to just touch our hearts with the passion of God, the passion of the Lord. Cry out for that. Don't stop. Just cry out for that. Lord, baptize us with fire. See, Jesus said he baptizes with fire. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask for your baptism of fire, your passion, and your zeal, and your heart, that our hearts would beat with yours. With yours. Ask the Lord to let your light so shine that it would shine brightly. No more dimming, no more covering, no more hidden, no more hiddenness. The Bible says that the righteous will be as bold as a lion. Lord, we just pray for the boldness of the righteous heart. If you're ready to be used by the Lord, just lift your voice up to Him and say, "Here am I. Send me. Send me. Send me. Here am I. Send me." Like with what was read last week in your word, Lord, that we are your spokesperson. We are able to say what you're saying and to do what you're doing. And Lord, we can lift up our voice and speak the word of God when it needs to be spoken without fear, without intimidation. But yet, let our hearts be filled with love when we do it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. Tell somebody in your circle there, just tell them you love them. And mean it. Ooh-wee. Amen. Amen. Pastor Charlie, you come up just a second. Can you play "Rain Down"? Holy Spirit, rain down. Yeah. Yeah, can you do that? Great.
Holy Spirit, rain down.
I want you to just be still. Come and change our hearts
as we stand on your
word. And stand on your word, Holy Spirit.
Rain down.
Rain. Sometimes we are so distracted, so cluttered with things that we fail to remember that we need to abide in His presence. You know, to be still and to know that He's God. And take the time to do that. Sometimes we're just in too big a hurry. I've got our minds set on a lot of different things. And He said, I want your mind set on me, on Him, on His presence. You know, we can do all the routines of a church service, but we can do all of that without Him, which is not good. But when we do that in Him, for Him, and Him through us, that's what matters. That's what makes the difference. We need to invite His presence. Let Him do what He wants to do. Let Him do the things that we can't ever do. I know sometimes it can get uncomfortable. Silence to a lot of us sometimes can be very uncomfortable. But we need it. We really do. We need it. Everybody take a real deep breath. Now do that without Him. Not possible. Tell your neighbor, not possible. Not possible at all. I want to say thank you to Aaron and Rachel responding so quickly to Marty. I'm sorry. Okay, update.
Just found out that they're just waiting for the test results. She's doing great, and they expect her to be released here just shortly. Okay.
They were ministering to her and praying for her and calling 911 and doing all that. Girls, I really want to thank you for responding and loving on people. Thank you. I did hear that Ryan asked his dad, Dad, can you help her? And he said, that's what we got Mama here for. That's the reason Mama's here. And he said, is that the reason she's the one that puts our Band-Aids on? That's the one? That's the reason? Yeah, so we have our place, don't we? We have our place. Have you found your place? Have you found your place in Him? I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the root of it all. The root of the matter. Have you ever wondered why you're not further along in your walk with God than you currently are today? Has anybody ever thought about that? Has anybody ever wanted to be more in God, more walking in Him than you currently are? You just want to be involved in everything that He wants you to be involved in. Have you ever had bad behavior to come up? I'm gonna see how many honest folks we got here. Let's see. We just spent time in the presence of God, so just remember. Have you ever had bad behavior to come up? Okay, all right. I'm not looking to see who didn't raise their hand, but I saw about four. You know, No, I did. I'm messing with you. But you know, but good behavior comes up too, right? How many of you, you're just walking in so many blessings of God that you're just overflowing with the blessings of God. Raise your hand. I mean, truly we are, but yet there's sometimes we seem to struggle in what we're doing or what. Why am I going through this struggle? What's the root of this thing? We need to find the root of it before we can ever get through it and get past it. John 15:8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. The proof of being disciples is bearing much fruit. Much fruit. Not good works. Much fruit. He said, my Father is glorified in this, when fruit is being on display. See, we get a little mixed up sometimes and think that we have to produce the fruit. We get mixed up by thinking we have got to produce, I've got to produce more joy. I've got to produce more patience. We'll get to producing. You understand what I'm saying? You know, without him, we can't do nothing. Nothing. But see, it talks over in John chapter 15. You can go there. I'm rushing right along in these notes. But John chapter 15, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. See, it says if you do not bear fruit, and then he talks about that you could bear more fruit. So you begin to see right here real quick that when you begin to bear fruit, God will reward you with something. What will he reward you with? Pruning. I don't even like that word. You don't understand the word. We don't understand it. We've got certain thought processes and hang-ups about certain things when God is not even saying that. He says that they may bear more fruit. Then he says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, when you understand what he's saying in this, you see that he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that they may bear more fruit. You are already clean. The word clean and the word prune is the same word. One's a verb, one's a noun. And it means to cleanse. To prune means to cleanse. And he said, and you are already clean. You've already been pruned. You've already been cleansed. You're already clean because there's already been a pruning. Now, how in the world can they be pruned? He said, you've already been pruned. So looking at the passage, just by what we've been talking about just briefly here, what is he talking about? You are already clean. And he gives you the answer. What's the rest of it? Because of the word that I have spoken to you. So what is pruning? The word. He doesn't prune with his hands. Now, we prune with the hedge trimmers or whatever it is, and that we do that by hand, but he's not talking about that. He's given an analogy of that, but he's saying you're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So So why should we dread pruning? I don't feel like being cut back. You're not being cut back. You've been spoken to. You've been spoken to. So here's how this works. And we'll get a few more minutes in before we stop. But here you are living your life, going along, and all of a sudden there's something comes up that's really not God for you to do. Does that happen to people? If it happens to you, raise your hand. I'm going to see how honest you are. Okay, all right. We got honest folks this morning. I said, we need to spend time with God more often, in the presence of the Lord more often. So all of a sudden, you have this, and you have this temptation, and you have this thing that really the enemy's pulling on you to do. And if you're not careful, you'll grow that way. But in the process of here, this thing is that wants you, that enemy wants you to go in a certain direction that's not God. And here comes what? What comes? A word. From whom? The Holy Spirit. Here comes the word. You shouldn't do that. See, that's the pruning. He said, if you let me prune you, you'll be able to bear more fruit than what you're already bearing. That cleansing, the word, and the Bible says that the word cleanses. It washes us. Washed in the water of his word. Let's see, Jesus refers to that as, that's my pruning. That's how I prune you. By my word. He said, you're already cleansed. You're already pruned. Now, he didn't say that's all the pruning you'll ever have. He said, you're already pruned at this point because I've already given you the words. I've already given you teaching. So what he said, I've already given you teaching, and you've heard it, and you've been cleansed of this growth that doesn't need to be there, this direction that doesn't need to go in. Already cleansed. Now, he didn't mean they were saved. It didn't mean they were born again. They didn't get born again until John 20:20. When he had the whole, as the disciples are walking with Jesus, they're walking as disciples, not as born again people. In John 20:20, he says he breathed upon them just like he breathed into clay and the dirt, and man came to be. He breathed on the disciples, the people that were following him. He breathed on them, and here's what he said. What did he say when he breathed on? You remember? Receive ye the Holy Spirit, which meant what? They didn't have the Holy Spirit. The reason they were able to listen to the reason they were able to go out and do miracles because he gave them the word to go do it. He gave them the authority. His authority was on them, not in them. And they were able to go do everything because his word was beginning to operate on their lives. And they were able to go and do miracles. Because of the word that was spoken. Then in John 20:20, they got born again. He said, receive ye the breath, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And then they received the Holy Spirit and was born again. Why? Because John 20:20, he's already gone to the cross. He's already been beaten. He's already died. He's already resurrected. The payment's been made so they can receive the Spirit to be born again. As a matter of fact, is there anybody here right now that wants to receive the Spirit of God and be born again? Anybody? Is there anybody here that wants to be saved, wants to be born again? What's it? What's his name?
Axel.
Axel. Axel. Are you excited? What you excited about?
Getting saved.
Well, come on. Well, come. Austin? Austin, you want to come up and... You know, this is Pastor... Hey there. This is Pastor Austin. This is Axel. Talk. Did I say it wrong again? Axton. A-X-T-O-N. Is that right? I got it. Axton. Yeah. Just talk to him about giving his heart to the Lord. Will you do that? Yeah, go ahead and do that now. Yeah. Then. Anybody else? It's just that simple. It's really, don't make the gospel difficult. We make it difficult. Y'all remember that video we showed you about, you know, the man that was on the cross went to heaven and they started, y'all remember that? You know, and he got there and said, how did you get here? Well, I'm just here. What do you know about the justification by faith? Well, I don't know anything about that. Well, what do you know about this? What do you know about? Hey, I don't know anything. Well, how in the world can you be here? He said, the man on the middle cross said I could. That was good enough, wasn't it? The man on the middle cross said I could. He said I could. He said, remember me. That was his humility. Remember me. When you come into the... He said, this day you'll be with me. Jesus said. All of a sudden, pruning begins to happen because Jesus is saying something. So now, how many of you want to be pruned? Come on, talk to me. I'm gonna see who's not raising your hands. I'm gonna say, all right, they're not getting it. So see, the pruning is the pruning of His word. He said, you're already clean. You're already cleansed. You're already clean because of the word that I've given you. He said that once pruning comes, you'll be able to bear more fruit. More fruit. And then it goes on down. It says, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. So there's fruit, there's more fruit, and there's much fruit. And there's no fruit. Jesus is the true vine. You know what that means? He is the root. He's called a root shall spring up out of Jesse, the family of Jesse. That was Jesus. Now, I think I got enough time to do this. The Father is the vine dresser, which means what? What does the vine dresser mean? He's the owner. Father's vineyard, he's the owner. It's not Terry's vineyard. And everybody say, thank God. It's not man's vineyard, it's Father's. That this passage is where we got the name. Father's vineyard. I had somebody to ask me, said, where'd y'all come up with that name? I said, the Bible. And they said, where is that in the Bible? I said, John 15. It's Father's Vineyard. He's the owner. Elders don't own it. Pastors don't own it. Members don't own it. He's the owner. He has bought you with a price. He has redeemed you. He has purchased you with his blood, with his life, with his death and his resurrection. There's nobody like him. Then he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. The branches is what bears the fruit. So let's look at this. I got to get through it if I'm going. Let's go. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, I want to talk about that just for a moment. He takes away. He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. So, one, it says he takes away. Now, when you look up that word, takes away, it's a combination of words making one word in the Greek. And here, listen to this. Now, what happened over here? Is everything okay? Axton, I got it right, didn't I? Come up here, buddy. How old are you? Eight. Are you almost nine? Come on. You almost nine? That's good. 9 years. I was eight, but you're eight. Did you know I accepted the Lord when I was 8 years old? That's cool, he said. That's good. You want to ask me how long ago that was? A long time. Are you happy? You still excited? Did you surrender your heart to Jesus? Did Pastor Austin lead you through that? Yeah. You ask God to come into your heart. You ask God to forgive you of all everything. Yeah. So how do you feel now? Real good? Are you excited? What you going to do next? Get baptized. If we had water, I'd throw you over in it right now. Congratulations. You know what? You're my brother. I'm your brother. See this lady right here? She's your sister. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's cool, isn't it? So all of sisters, all of Axton's sisters, would you please stand up? I want to see them, all the sisters. Look at all these sisters you've got. Look. Your family. Look. Yeah, he's waving at you. Hallelujah. All right, sit down. All right, all you brothers, stand up. Here's all your brothers. Yeah. Pretty cool, right? Pretty cool. God bless you. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of good things that's going to come out of him. Yeah. He's been asking a lot of questions about Jesus and about God. And, you know. Yeah. If we just be like a little child, when did you stop asking questions? I already know that. I already know that. No. Now, there might be something about that you don't know. It's just like Eric was talking about in Sunday school. You know, even with John 3:16, you may have memorized John 3:16, but you may not know everything they are to know about John 3:16. Until when the Holy Spirit sort of pulls it back and reveals it to you, then here comes the word. All right. Well, I'm still going to try to get through it. This word, he said, everyone that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, in the Greek, that word, he takes away, listen to this, means the primary meaning of he takes away. It's going to blow your mind. It really will. It means to, in the Greek, it means to raise up. It means to lift up. It means to elevate up. It means to raise up from the ground. Are you thinking about vines? To raise up from the ground. It means to raise upwards. It means to lift up. It means to draw up. Listen to this. It also means to lift the voice. I am so blown away with this. I really am. Now, that's the primary meaning of that word. This number two of that word means to raise up upon oneself and carry. To take upon oneself and to carry it. Now, does that sound like any of that that's going to be cut off? Does any of that sound like it's going to be cut off? Or do y'all hear me? Now, the third meaning, it means to carry off or remove from its place. But the primary meaning of that word in all of the Bible, every time, and it's io in the Greek. And it has to do with having the air. When vines are on the ground, they will begin to go into the ground and start false vines. Ooh. When vines are underneath leaves, they have to be, because they're not bearing fruit underneath leaves. Why? They have to have sunshine. So the vine dresser has to reach and get that vine and get it up to where it can get sunshine. Otherwise, it's not going to bear fruit. The best translation of this right here is when a vine is not producing fruit, he lifts it up. Matter of fact, it also means to trellis. To be lifted to the place or elevated to the place that the vine... See, the vine cannot trellis itself. Are you hearing me? The vine cannot trellis. It cannot... It'll fall. It'll go down. Now, so every branch that does not bear fruit, he lifts it up. He elevates it to the place to where it can. That is so much the heart of God. That is so much the heart of God. Are y'all hearing me? Now we go on down and we see this other one in verse. He said, now abide in me and I in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You cannot produce fruit. You have to abide. Watch this, you have to abide. And he said this thing in verse 6, if anyone does not abide, now he's talking about abiding. He said, if anyone does not abide, he is cast out
as a branch, and it's withered, and they gather them together and throw them in the fire to be burned. Now, what is that saying? To abide means to be connected to the life that is within. So any branch that is not connected to the life that is in, all it is a stick. It is not being fed by the life within. It's not growing by the life that is within it. He said, and every one of those will be broken off. That word broken off or cast off, to cast forward, to cast forth, means to with a sort of like a violent nature. It's sort of like you cannot be here. And he takes away, he casts it out, cast it away from the vineyard. Matter of fact, it means to take outside the vineyard. And that's where it's burned. Not abiding. Not receiving the life that is in the vine. Not partaking of the life that is within the vine. The life juices. And it's just wood growing and not fruit producing. Those are the ones that are cast out. It could be, listen to this, it could be all about religion, but not about relationship. I've got a religious walk with God, but I don't have a relationship with God. You hear it? Cast forth, it means to thrust. There's the part that said it's got force with it. It means to thrust out, to break off, to thrust out. Why? It's just a stick. Now, I found that out this 2 weeks ago, and I have been bubbling with that, because let me ask you this: have you ever been since you've been a Christian? Have you ever had a season where you did not produce fruit? Good fruit. Yeah, well, you understand what I'm saying? See the love of God is, I will lift you. I'll put you in this place. I'll lift you in the place, and I'll trellis you so you can receive the sunlight and everything else that you need, so you can bear fruit. That means that is the heart of God. See, a broken reed, he's not going to crush it. He's not going to, you understand? His heart is for us to produce fruit, but when we're not connected to his life and it has not changed our life, then we're just wood growing on a vine that has no other purpose but to be taken out and cast away. I sure am glad for the times in my life as being a Christian that he did not lop me off because I wasn't bearing fruit during that season. I am so grateful that he did not do that. So here's the thing about it. He sent the true vine. See, the true vine means the vine that produces fruit versus growing in the jungle or in the wild. They're just vines. The true vine is the one that is life producing. His heart for every one of you, including me, is for us to be productive. to be able to lean into Him, stay connected to Him, stay connected to His life source, and just let Him produce the fruit that we can put on display. To bear means to carry, not produce. To bear fruit means to carry the fruit that He has produced inside us. So I don't have to do the straining and say, let me see if I can make patience pop out. Yep, there's patience. Get out of my way. Yeah, you thought that was patience. No, the one that when we have patience is when we can begin to display who He is in the midst of it. See, that word abide also means to stay. Stay. Don't leave. Stay. I read just the other day and doing more research on it. When there's a drought or difficulty in weather or whatever it is, when the grapevine and the branches and when it produces, when God gives us the fruit that needs to be put on display so everybody can see. He said, when it has to go through a struggle to stay, that's when the best grapes are produced. Yeah. That's pretty good. Well, there's more, but I don't have time to go into it today. So here's the question. Are you ready to abide and let Him do what needs to be done in your life, through your life? Because the only way that we'll ever get people to taste and see that the Lord is good is when we have His fruit on display. And then when they bump into us, they'll be able to taste and see what kind of fruit, what kind of root are we connected to? If we're connected to the root of anger, root of bitterness, and we're going to be talking about that, if we're connected to that, that's what's going to come out. That's what they're going to taste. But when we're connected and stay connected to the root, Jesus, He will populate us with the fruit. And we just put it on display for others to taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? Amen? Let's stand together. Now, I'll say this. Go back and look at that word, because it changes the whole meaning of that passage when you say it's lifted up instead of cut off. Go back and study that. I'm asking you to. Make sure I'm telling you the truth. Well, did you have a good day today?
Yes.
Did you experience the presence of God today? I certainly did. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this beautiful day that You created. We thank You for Axton coming to You as a child. We thank You for bringing him into Your kingdom. And we thank You, God, that You're teaching us. And the Lord, when You prune us, You're just speaking to us. So, Father, in Jesus' name, let us be pruned, so we can bear more fruit and much fruit to put You on display to whomever is looking and to whomever is following. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.